Now, there seems to be stories every day, and we've covered many of them on this programme, of the elderly being fleeced out of their life savings. Now, it seems it's such a problem that one council has set up a new department to tackle it. For the first time in the UK, North Yorkshire County Council has brought together detectives, social services and trading standards officers into one place. John Douglas has been along to see how it works.
At an office block in North Allerton, Ruth Andrews is showing me around. This is the home of North Yorkshire Trading Standards Department. She's its head of investigations and safeguarding. First stop is a room full of documents and evidence bags, neatly arranged across a large conference table.
This is James. James is the officer in the case of the big job that we did last week with the arrest, so he's currently stuck in this room going through all the evidence that we seized last week to pull out what's relevant. We've now got detectives in the team who can help us with the criminal investigations and access those resources that the force has that we previously may not have been able to access. So if we needed some higher level intelligence that we couldn't previously access, then obviously the detectives in the team can now access that and help us progress our criminal investigations.
Is this unit unique?
As far as I'm aware, it is. There are trading standard services who've got seconded police officers, but I don't think there's any joint agency team like this where we're looking at all forms of financial abuse. So doorstep crime, scam mail, investment frauds, romance frauds, but also fraud by family members and carers and powers of attorney. So as far as I'm aware, this is a unique team, the first in the country. What we've not been great at, all agencies historically, is looking at the underlying reason why somebody's been a victim of financial abuse. So if somebody's lonely and we go and deal with a doorstep crime incident and we prosecute the offender and we get a conviction and we pat ourselves on the back saying, yeah, we've done a great job, if we haven't addressed that person's loneliness, they're just as likely to open the door to another doorstep crime offender or answer the phone to an investment fraudster or reply to scam mail.
Ruth's team can arrange for scam mail to be diverted and phone blockers to be fitted to prevent unwanted telephone calls to vulnerable people. They work with charities who run befriending services to reduce loneliness, and they have a social worker on their team. Ruth took me to see an elderly couple, John and Barbara. They've been ripped off repeatedly through a range of frauds. The worst was an investment scam where someone persuaded John over the phone to buy what turned out to be fictitious company shares in America.
Do you know how much money overall you've lost?
All in dribs and drabs, really, over a long period.
I think it's certainly between 1 and 200,000.
Yeah. I would have said over 200,000.
When did you realise, then, that all was not what it seemed? When did you realise that these people weren't honest?
Well, when they became more and more difficult to keep in touch with, eventually they disappear off the face of the earth.
Frauds are believed to be massively underreported, sometimes because of embarrassment, sometimes because people don't recognise they're being conned. Ruth Andrews believes more resources are needed to find people at risk. She's hoping others will follow their lead.
That was John Douglas reporting. Did you hear how relaxed that couple were? They'd been scammed for £200,000 plus. Goodness me, we're hearing there about one county council, North Yorkshire, and their trading standards department that has pulled together trading standards, social services and detectives to try and beat the con artists. How could they, is the question most ask. How could anybody take £200,000 off someone who was elderly, somebody who was vulnerable? Going to talk to a doctor who's been researching the psychology of fraudsters for quite some time. Anyone can get inside their heads, he'll be able to. First, though, here's the beautiful South. South and Perfect Ten, some ear-catching tunes and the sort of stories that have made me turn my head and my ears during the day. That's what I share with you between 7 and 10. Now, before the beautiful South, you were hearing about scammers who con the elderly and the vulnerable out of their life savings. When you hear a story like that, the question many ask is, well, how could they? Well, a man who perhaps knows is Dr. David Modic, who's been researching the psychology of fraudsters. He says these scams are nothing new.
We know about the existence of the so-called Spanish prisoner letters, and this is from the 16th century. And the idea is the same. So somebody would contact like minor nobility in the UK They would say, oh, you know, I'm your second cousin twice removed. I have been imprisoned in Spain. You know, could you please, you know, send a certain amount of money and, you know, to my captor so that they release me. And then, you know, I will return that back, you know, with interest. You know, and people would do it and the money would disappear en route. And so, you know,
I got one of those emails this summer from a friend whose email account was hacked. Isn't it amazing? And you say that they've been around since the 16th century.
Yes, I mean, and they haven't changed much. This is also funny. I mean, so it tells you a bit about human nature. But the other thing that you were asking is, you know, the modern Robin Hood idea and, you know, about, you know, the scammers. What we know is that there's, well, from what we can glean from, you know, from data, is that there's not that many, you know, successful ones. And also, you know, being scammed is a fairly low probability event. So it's not all that often that people actually lose money.
So is it a very small number of people then being scammed a lot? We heard about a couple who have been scammed so many times they have lost upwards of £200,000. Is there something within the psyche of certain individuals that makes them more vulnerable than others?
Well, there's the concept of, well, there are a few things connected with, specifically with the old age. Or, you know, people, you know, recently retired people in this country. You know, first of all, you know that there's a, usually when you retire, there's a large amount of money that you get from the government that you are free to invest. And then, you know, you pay it back in a few years, or at least, you know, up until recently, this was the way it worked. So in that particular respect, they're vulnerable because, you know, all of a sudden they have a large amount of money, which, and they probably, you know, they might not have had a chance to manage, you know, that kinds of, you know, that kind of money. So there's all kinds of, you know, investors in inverted commas quotes, you know, who you know want to help them. So they're, you know, they're targeted for that particular reason. The other thing is that, you know, older people in probably any cultural context are trained to be more polite. So it's impolite to slam down the phone on somebody. So, you know, in essence, they're playing into, you know, fraudsters' hands. They're just kind of, you know, they just let them, you know, do their shtick, which is, you know, kind of problematic too. And the third thing is that, and this is my pet theory. I've been talking about that with, on different conventions or, you know, I have given talks to like different organizations for the elderly. You see, the way the society is constructed now is we don't really have the time to do, you know, anything, in essence. We're just like these atomic families where there's, you know, you spend time with your family and your kids, and, you know, at one point in time, you know, when you became older, you didn't really have the time to spend with your parents because you're now living your own life and you don't have the energy to do anything else. And then, you know, there's this nice, you know, Nigerian prince who talks to these elderly people every day, you know, for hours on end. So in essence, you know, there's at least somebody who talks to them. So I've spoken to people who have told me that, you know, they know that this is, you know, it's a scam. They know that they're being defrauded. But, you know, they still do it because at least somebody, you know, gives them some attention.
Goodness me. The lesson is then spend some time with your elderly relatives and save a lot of money in the long run.
Yes. So it's not all that often that people are, you know, re-victimized often. But there is, in the literature and in research, we know that people do, there's repeat victimization. It's fairly common. So once the scammers know that, you know, you've been suckered, so to speak, once, they will try again.
That's Dr. David Modic from Cambridge University. Didn't you find that absolutely extraordinary? Scamming and conning often associated with the lump sum that you get when you start to draw your pension, the fact that you are more polite, you won't put the phone down, and the fact that you are lonely and often know you're being scammed, but you quite like the fact that this friendly Nigerian prince, if that's the scam, phones you up for 2 hours every single day and is interested in your life. So ultimately, you'll give him a bit of money to make it keep going.
Mark Forrest.
BBC Radio Cornwall.